Please rise.
His retirement coming up, the way he served our community throughout these years. And God, I thank you for our community coming together during this time of Child Abuse Week and month. And I ask you, God, to deal the hearts of people when they see child abuse and they've reported. God, I'm glad that our commissioners are in unity, God. We just ask you to give them wisdom, Lord, and things work out good for our county. We just ask these in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor to the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
I'd like to welcome everyone here today. We're going to start off with the first part of the agenda, open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes at this time.
I'm George Garza. I'm with the Vider Vidorian, and I'm here simply to ask the court to, now that we have a new judge, to reconsider moving or setting the time and day of the Commissioner's Court meetings to Mondays at 1:30. Thank you.
Monday, 1:30.
No, we
decided. Anyone else like to address the court? Okay. Item number two, discussion of possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioners Court issuing a proclamation declaring April 2019 as the National Safe Digging Month in Orange County, Texas. I must say, that's the first time I ever passed a proclamation on digging, but that's okay. It is a very safe thing. It is a very dangerous thing to do if it's not done properly, especially with all the pipelines and gas lines that we have.
Call before you dig.
Call before you dig. Okay. I'll read the proclamation and I'll entertain a motion from the court. Oh, Commissioner Gauthier did that one.
That's fine. Go for it.
I'll read this. I'll let you do this.
You would read
it. Go ahead. Whereas each year the nation's pipeline infrastructure is jeopardized by unintentional third-party damage and encroachment by those who fail to call 811 to have underground lines located prior to digging. And whereas undesired consequences such as service interruption, damage to the environment, and personal injury and even death are the potential results. And whereas to reduce these damages for public safety, 811 provides potential excavators and homeowners a simple number to reach their local one call center to request pipeline locations at the intended dig sites. And whereas through education of safe digging practices, excavators and homeowners can improve public safety by making a simple call to 811 in advance of any digging project, waiting the required amount of time, respecting the marked lines by maintaining visual definition throughout the course of the excavation, and finally digging with care around the marks. And whereas all parties agree that safe digging is a shared responsibility. Now therefore, be it resolved that the Orange County Commissioner's Court does hereby proclaim April 2019 as National Safe Digging Month in Orange County, Texas, and we encourage excavators and homeowners throughout the county to call 811 before digging. Signed, this 10th day of April 2019. Need a motion from the court and second.
I make a motion to have this National Safe Digging Month proclamation.
Second. Two, three. Motion made and seconded. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 2, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 3, to accept the proclamation on Safe Digging Month. Any further discussions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay.
Yes.
Somebody here received the proclamation?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You can step to the podium. Y'all can step up to the podium, sir.
Good morning. My name is Brent Bird. I'm with Shell Pipeline Company. I'm an Integrity and Projects Manager for our Gulf of Mexico region. which includes Texas and Louisiana. In this role, my team and I are accountable for sustainable, top-tier performance in pipeline industry with regards to asset integrity, smart pigging, process safety, public safety, third-party damage prevention within the public domain of Texas. On behalf of Shell Pipeline, as well as the entire pipeline community, I would like to thank Orange County, the Commissioner's Court, for passing this proclamation recognizing April as National Safe Digging Month. At Shell, our top priority is protecting the public and the environment and the communities we operate. Third-party pipeline damage remains one of the industry's biggest threats. And when individuals dig without calling 811, serious incidents can occur. In the words of my daughter, Zoe, call 811 so you don't have to call 911. National Safe Digging Month serves as a reminder to homeowners, contractors to always call 811 before starting any digging project, no matter how large or small. For this reason, we greatly appreciate you partnering with us to get this message out and bringing extra attention to this very important aspect of pipeline safety. We can't do this alone, and we need to make calling 811 as routine as putting on a seatbelt because it's the law. So again, thank you for your time, your recognition, continued support, and commitment in this area. We certainly value this partnership within the community. Finally, I'd like to take a moment just to recognize some additional team members. Phil Barker, right here. He is our Public Awareness Damage Prevention Representative for Texas. James Lawrence, he is our Right-of-Way Damage Prevention Supervisor for Texas, as well as his team of right-of-way technicians who are the face of Shell Pipeline to the general public. And any emergency responders also that are in the room, because when things go bad, you guys are there helping us through it. So I appreciate everything, and thank you for this proclamation.
Thank you.
You are. I see you got a camera?
Yeah. Okay.
When you leave, you stop by my office on the way out and have my secretary make a copy of the signed proclamation for our record here and keep you ready.
And they'll just need to amend their motion to authorize not only awarding but authorize him to execute it subject to my review. That's fine. It's sufficient notice because the award is on the agenda today.
You know what I'm sure of? I'm going to take all these pictures and see them.
Thank you
very much.
Okay.
No,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I'll keep these, and then when I'm done with what you do, I'll bring it here and tell them that it's okay to sign.
I'm leaving in 2 hours.
Thank you very much.
Lumberton.
Thank you.
We've been having to, over the last couple of years, of course, call the rainbow, we've had to do a lot of drainage work, and it's amazing when you see the number of pipelines that cross this county, when you start looking at where you can dig and clean, and I never realized there were that many of them in here, so it is, so thank you for all you guys do, and I know there's a lot of work going on and continue to work, so thank you.
I've seen a lot of work lately.
Thank y'all very much.
My son's involved in making pipelines. They're always having problems way out in the sticks.
If you don't call 811, you might not be able to make that 911.
Yeah,
call.
You don't make a 911 at all.
All right. Item 3, discussion and possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioner's Court issuing a proclamation recognizing Pastor John W. Harrell for his service to the Bridge City United Pentecostal Church and the Bridge City community. At this time, I'd like to ask Judge Pro Tem Commissioner John Gauthier to read the proclamation for Mr. Reverend Harrell.
And then at the end, or if you want to come up and say a piece about it. All right, so honoring Pastor John W. Harrell, United Pentecostal Church. Whereas on July 19, 1966, John Harrell received his license to preach, and in March 1970 became an ordained minister. And whereas in March 1971, Pastor John Harrell accepted the invitation to assume the pastorate of the Bridge City United Pentecostal Church. And whereas Pastor Harrell had his wife Hazel, his son Daryl and wife Dana, his daughter Jeanette and husband Scotty, along with grandsons Dylan, Derek, and Daniel, by his side giving him encouragement in serving not only the members of Bridge City United Pentecostal Church, but the Bridge City community. And whereas Pastor Harrell is a well-known and respected citizen of Bridge City, Texas, and was honored in 2011 by being named as Citizen of the Year. And whereas through the leadership of Pastor Harrell and the Bridge City United Pentecostal Church today stands as a beacon and a refuge for the Bridge City community and for Orange County. And whereas on April 13th, 2019, United Pentecostal Church and the community of Bridge City will come together to celebrate the 48 years of devoted service of Pastor John W. Harrell. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that Judge Carl K. Thibodeau, Orange County Judge, does hereby issue this proclamation and approves the following to it, April 2019, as Pastor John W. Harrell Day, signed this 10th day of April 2019. And I would like to make that motion, Judge.
Second. All right. Motion made to accept the proclamation honoring and recognizing Pastor John W. Harrell by Commissioner Precinct 3, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 1. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
I'd like to thank this court for their kind consideration and hard work on behalf of this proclamation. I regret, and Brother Harrell regrets, that he's unable to be here today. After 48 years of pastoring in one place, he decided to take a vacation for some reason. And so I'm here on his behalf. My name is Murray Ray. I'm the new pastor at Bridge City United Pentecostal Church. And I'd like to give honor to Judge Thibodeau. I've met on a number of occasions, honor to Commissioner Gauthier for his hard work on behalf of this proclamation. Good to see Sheriff Merritt here today. My brother Tom served this community for a number of years, Captain Tom Ray with the Sheriff's Department. And it's an honor for me to be home after an absence of about 25 years. I told someone they finally lifted my probationary status and let me come back into the state. I have been let me back across the river. I've been pastoring in Arkansas for the last 22 years, and so we are very excited about returning home. I am a graduate, 1987 graduate of West Orange Stark High School, and grew up in Orange and Bridge City and surrounding areas. And so it's an honor to be back here, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of the congregants of Bridge City United Pentecostal Church for your kindness today. We appreciate your time very much. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Murray. I know that, like I said, that was one of the things I know that that church is excited about having you back. And because I know the 48 years of service that he gave is, you know, I know that you're looking forward to that 48 years. But also but the fact that, your family has been someone who has served this community with Tom Ray's, you know, working at the Sheriff's Department and his influence there over the years, is glad to see that continued family that you are still in this community. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We have the commissioner's court. You turn a picture for you to get to you. And by the way, tell you, Dad, how are you? My dolphin buddy. Spent many an hour with him on the course. Good luck to you.
One more. Coming up in 3, 2, 1.
Got it, Dan?
Got it. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Phillips.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. Yeah, and when you leave, Mary?
Yeah.
Same thing, if you'll stop it.
Stop at my office on the way out. It's on the left-hand side of the hallway toward the end. Yeah. And have secretary make a copy of it for us, and y'all keep the original.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as soon as you go through the little hallway doors, and yes, to the left. Right. See you Saturday. Thank you.
Is that a code lock that's disconnected? I turn it. The door is always open. Come in now.
Janine, she's just wonderful. I've enjoyed talking to her.
All right. Okay. Item 4 will be discussion of possible action to authorize the county treasurer to process the payroll for pay period ending April 7, 2019, including all support and payroll liabilities and garnishment orders.
So moved.
Second.
Well, I've always wondered what would happen if that wouldn't pass.
Be a lot of...
Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item 5, discussion of possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listing. specifically as follows. The two listed bills is $1,150 for Memorial Funeral Home from a general fund for funeral expenses and $208.71 to Claybar Funeral Home from general fund for indigent funeral expenses and...
Also approval on April 10th, 2019 from the general fund, $108,177.10. Road and Bridge, $22,927.18. Mosquito Control, $4,113.94. Adult Probation, $1,195.44. Airport, $795.50. And other funds, $35,189.20, for a grand total of $244,398.36.
Just one question. Does 208.71 to Claymore?
Yes.
Why is that not the usual? Okay.
Okay.
I guess I should be just happy this list.
Yeah.
I move to go ahead and pay the bills as listed by the auditor.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2. Any discussions? All in favor, sit five, saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. I don't know what this one is, Commissioner, but in the past, some of the family members, they had money, but they didn't have enough for the full funeral.
Okay.
And so they qualified for the balance of it. That might have been what happened here.
Okay.
And that's, Judge, that's possible because they sent in a letter for the stated amount. Instead of for
right,
the,
yeah, because the family will pay what they can, and if there is a balance, then if they qualify, they'll bill the county for it.
I just want to ask a question. Is there still that, and I don't know who would know this, the cemetery down by the Mosquito Control, by the old timers? Did y'all know there was a cemetery down
mm-hmm.
there? Is it still, do people still use that?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I know there's one there. But I don't know if it's still used. Okay, item 6, discussion possible action on line item transfer involving sheriff's office from the account for medical and drug supplies, $10,000 to other, $10,000 to purchase restraint chairs for the jail.
Judge, if possible, I'd like to pass on this agenda item for this week.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go to item number 7. You want to go ahead and go through that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Please. Discussion of possible action on line item transfer involving the sheriff's office from fuel, oil, gas, and grease, $8,000 to other, $8,000 for reliable cleaners, blanket, future charges, and future purchases. Sir?
Judge, what we're doing is just starting to get a little bit toward the end of this budget year, moving money around to make it through the end of the year.
Second. Okay. 1-3. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 3 to allow the line item transfer listed on agenda item number 7. Any further discussion? All in favor, 65 is saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay. Item 8. Discussion possible action regarding filing in the minutes of court the financial report from Emergency Services District Number 1. Commissioner Viator?
I think we have Chief Smith going to give the explanation.
Good morning, Chief Smith.
Yes,
sir. Once again, we sourced out J.R. Edwards and Associates, our CPAs. They did an audit. They found no issues with it and stated that we're using good judgment and practices in the business that we do.
Good.
What was the name?
Robert Smith.
Robert Smith. No, that was the auditor?
J.R. Edwards and Associates.
Oh.
And they're from where?
They're from Beaumont.
Okay.
I think you have a copy of the report.
Okay, and this, okay.
We don't have any more questions. I'll make a motion to accept the audit.
I'll second that.
Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 4, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2 to accept the financial report from Earth Service District Number 1. Any further discussion? All in favor, 65 and saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Good job. Thank you, sir. And also appreciate the job y'all are doing that end of the county. Item 9, discussion and possible action recognizing AACOM contractor for General Land Office for the Homeowners Assistance Program. ACOM will be presenting an update on Homeowners Assistance Program regarding Orange County. Michelle?
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners. I'm going to refer this to Ms. Jennifer Mattingly. She is with AECOM. She will give us updates on the Homeowners Assistance Program. For you guys to ask any questions on this program, she'll be the one to ask, and she's the expert. So thank you all for coming.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I'm Rhonda Masters, the Southeast Texas Outreach Coordinator for the Texas General Land Office. And thank you for having us back here again today to visit with you. It's very important to the Land Office, to Commissioner Bush and us at the Land Office, to work as partners with you and keep you updated on activities with regard to disaster recovery in Orange County and throughout the Hurricane Harvey disaster zone. I'm accompanied today by Sean Davis, Vice President of Operations, and Jennifer Mattingly, Director of Client Services with AECOM, the General Land Office construction partner in the Homeowner Assistance Program. So we will provide a brief update for you on activities going on with the homeowner program here in Orange County. Just briefly, and I'll talk briefly about the other disaster recovery programs that the Land Office is helping to administer. There's one that I'll be coming back around and talking with you about that should be opening soon. It's an economic development program designed to help small businesses with job creation and employee retention. And so that one should be opening in May, and we're going to be traveling to Austin and get some more information, and I'll probably, if you'll have me back, bring our vendor back to come and talk with you about that program, so that business owners in Orange County can hear about it firsthand and have an opportunity to participate should they desire to do so. We also, are in the thick of it with the local infrastructure and buyouts program. That's a $15 million allocation to Orange County. And we had a meeting just on Monday. I was with Emergency Management Coordinator Joel Ardwan. Brought in the grant coordinator from Austin from the General Land Office, and Michelle was there, and they grilled us pretty good and had a good question and answer exchange and talking about the projects that they have laid out for Orange County. So we're making very good progress in that area, and we look forward to continuing to work closely with the team that you've assembled and make progress and get those applications in and get those approved. We also have a multifamily housing program that is providing funding to repair apartments and other multifamily dwellings. We do have a couple of properties in Orange County that are on the list. So the program, I know, was initially it got oversubscribed, but I need to check in and see where they added or did a plus up on that program. So I want to check in and see where are our Orange County properties, and know that I'll be advocating for those properties and try to get some assistance for renters in this area. We have the homeowner reimbursement program that has been going for about 6 weeks now, and that's a new program, the first of its kind, to put money directly into the homeowner's hand if you did repairs on your home as a result of hurricane damage. It's a $100 million program that's operating across all the Harvey areas. And homeowners can apply for that. They can either apply online or they can visit the Expo Center and apply. We have staff over there to assist them with that process. Right now we have almost 500 applications in the system from Orange County, 475, 294 of which that have been completed and submitted. So we've got a couple folks out there. We still need to help them with their receipts and help them to get everything in, but it's looking very good. 17% of the applications in the system are from Orange County. We've got 3,100 applications submitted statewide. Fort Bend, Orange County, Jefferson, and Galveston are the counties that are leading the way or submitting the most applications with that program. So I just want to, before I turn it over to Sean and Jennifer, who give us an update on the Orange County Housing Program. I just want to say thank you on behalf of the land office and on behalf of myself for Orange County being such great partners in this recovery. We appreciate working so closely with you. Anything that we need from the commissioners to the judge's office to the emergency management team, you're always there for us to help us along the way. And working as partners together, we're going to keep working and get it done.
I just want to ask a question.
Absolutely.
I might have misunderstood you. If people have already done the work, but they kept their receipts, y'all will reimburse them?
Yes, they can. There's an opportunity for them to get reimbursed up to $50,000. So any repairs that a homeowner did from starting immediately after the hurricane up until February of this year. And so you can't have a duplication of benefits. If you got insurance or if you got FEMA, it would have to be an amount over and above that. But for people that took out a loan or charged up things on their credit card or took money out of their 401k, it is an opportunity for them to try to get hold of it.
I had a call yesterday from a lady, and she said that she's done a lot of the work already.
Okay.
But that, there's some that she has not been able to finish.
Right.
And she was going to be here at the courthouse yesterday. Is that the same thing that she was going to be here for?
I don't think so. She was going to the expo center?
No, she said she was going to the courthouse.
Okay.
And so I didn't tell her different because
they were doing that at the expo, though. She might have got confused at which building she was going
to. Yeah, we're Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at the expo center from 9 to 4. They can go to Beaumont. They have Monday through Friday at our Beaumont regional office. And their staff there that helps them. And we made some tweaks to the process. It was a little cumbersome at first. It was a little cumbersome at first, but they've done some things looking at pre-eligibility to shorten the process and make it better. So please encourage her to come around. Or if you have her number, I'd be happy to give her a call.
I don't have it with me. Okay. It's on my desk. But if she said she had to have a letter.
Okay. So probably the letter of
maybe with about her damages or something to prove up the damages.
And see, I don't know.
So letter what? Of.
I'm trying to remember the term.
And she said
poor damage. Letter of significant damage or something like that.
Oh yeah.
What's it called?
Substantial damage.
Substantial damage.
And I hadn't seen the property or the house or anything, and I didn't feel comfortable at that time of writing her a letter.
Oh, okay.
But, well, I mean, I just wouldn't. I mean, until I see it for myself.
Yeah.
So, and she really doesn't live in my precinct, but I told her next week I'd go look at her so she could still go on Tuesday or Thursday after the expo.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll make sure you have my contact information, so if you want to send her to me, I'll be happy to give her any guidance that I can.
Do they have to have letters?
They may have to have a letter of substantial damage, something to verify
that they do have
that
damage.
They did have the, that they had
work?
Damage. And yes, pictures should work.
Okay.
And then also pictures of we have to document the repairs that they've done, receipts or pictures.
Every applicant is the requirements are there are some basic things that they need, but everyone is unique on what they ultimately have. So. You can just get them to us. We can work.
Okay.
Well,
I think I can get her to you.
I know that one of the things, because I've directed, I think several of us have directed people up there, just go up there and give them your information, and then y'all will direct them to which program might fit them the best, right?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where I'm sending them to, is I just tell them to go up there and meet with y'all, and then y'all direct them. And I've gotten very good information back about some of the stuff.
It's on Tuesday.
That they've been directed very correctly on where they needed to go, because they don't know. They don't know where to go. So
it's Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
At the Expo Center.
I got that.
Yes.
I thank you.
Ms. Masters, on the reimbursement program, I know in the beginning there was some getting reimbursed. If somebody had taken out an SBA loan, is it possible for them to get reimbursed to pay that back?
That's still not happening yet. There was guidance, well, we're awaiting guidance from HUD. It's supposed to be in the provisions, but we don't know when that's actually going to be put into law. So unfortunately, it's not.
As of now, it's not.
Right. Okay. I mean, we've told people you're welcome to come in and apply, and you know, if we get the guidance sooner and the funds are still available, then we will be able to process those. But with it being the first time out and not that huge of a dollar amount of a program, we're just afraid that they may run out of funds before.
Well, and also that I think they have that if they got their SBA loan, if they went over and above that amount still, they can actually reimburse that amount. And
yes.
That's been a question that they've been confused about.
Okay, yes.
And I've helped them understand that, if you got your SBA loan was for $60,000 and you spent $80,000, you can still reimburse that $20,000.
Right, okay. $20,000, yes. So it's exciting. There are people, you know, so it's good that people are getting the opportunity to get some of their money back. They've never had that before.
That's wonderful.
And I had the pleasure of being with Ms. Masters yesterday morning for the first house being tore down and rebuilt under the HAP program. Mm-hmm. Over in
I did too.
No, we actually had a big.
They had golden shovels.
Yeah, it was down in no time. I can tell you, it's already down, cleaned up in a bare lot.
Yeah, I watched it.
They can move pretty quick.
About 20 days.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So Sean and Jennifer are going to tell you about that. We hope we had that one yesterday, and we hope to have many more coming here in the county.
Well, no, we will have.
It's going to happen.
Thank you,
ma'am. Good report.
Good morning, y'all. Great to see y'all again. Everybody. I'm Sean Davis. I'm with AECOM. We are, as Rhonda alluded to, we are the state's vendor to execute the homeowner assistance program for Commissioner Bush and the entire General Land Office. So we're honored to do that for Southeast Texas. We did just mention that the first house in Orange County got started yesterday. For those of us, and I think it's all of us, and I know it's everybody in this room, we've been through this so many times. Think about it. We kicked off this program officially in December. November 28th, Jennifer said. So it's November 28th. Think about it, and construction has started. So it's never fast enough. What we've all experienced, that's lightning speed.
That's pretty slow. Lightning speed.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. So,
went from red tape to pink tape, maybe.
It's like I used to tell folks, we all wish we could get good at something else, but we've gotten really good at this disaster recovery, and we should. We've been doing it a lot. But mostly, we wanted to come here today and thank you for your partnership. Y'all housed us, our teams, our applicant coordinator teams, out at the Expo Center now since December. We're there 3 days a week. We still have a steady stream of folks coming in. It has really served the program well, and I believe served your constituents well. So we wanted to thank you for that. For the region, for the Southeast Texas region, which of course is Jefferson, Orange, and Hardin counties, it's about $250 million for the homeowner assistance program, where we will rehab or reconstruct your home if you are deemed eligible and your property is eligible. So it's a program that's tried and true. We've all been through it. We pay the contractors after rigorous inspections. So this morning, I don't want to take too much of Jen's time. She's going to run through. We want to make sure y'all are familiar with the program so you can answer your constituents' questions. But mostly we wanted to say thank you and make sure that you know that we're always here to serve your constituents. It's important, just a little discussion we had right before I stepped up here. There are a lot of programs, and people, they get fatigued with trying to recover. Certainly in our region, and there's so many options, and folks think they've already applied. Whenever we go out to try to get folks to come in, say, well, I already applied for FEMA. Well, it's not FEMA. So with y'all's help, we need to help y'all help us break through those things and just tell folks to come in and apply.
Hang in there.
Don't worry about whether you think you're eligible or not. Don't just come out and apply. You'll probably be surprised. With that, Jennifer, you want to put your little flash drive in there and see if we can get that going? But thank y'all. Y'all know Jennifer Mattingly. We're both Planning Commission vets. And we're happy to be involved with the program this time. Call us for anything that y'all need.
I'm quite used to following the big guy, so I'll go ahead and lower the mic. Thank y'all again for having us today. We appreciate your time. I want to echo Rhonda and Sean's sentiments on that. And really, we can just kind of run through it. It's a quick presentation. It doesn't look like it's wanting to pull up.
It's real fast. It's already over with.
Yeah.
Regular old PowerPoint. But I just want to give you some information about the homeowner assistance program. Rhonda talked quite a bit about the reimbursement program. Sean and I are specifically working on the housing program, where we go in and rebuild or remodel homes that were damaged by Harvey. Our total allocation for the state of Texas is a little bit over $1 billion. And 70% of that has to be spent on low to moderate income. What that means is that 30% can be spent on that above income group, which is a little different than previous programs. So we've got a little flexibility there. Additionally, we're, I guess you can say blessed or not, in this region, Jefferson, Orange, and Hardin counties are all three considered HUD's most impacted distressed counties. And HUD dictated that 80% of this $1 billion in Texas had to be spent in these HUD most impacted distressed counties. There are 16 counties total, but of those, three of them are Orange, Jefferson, and Hardin. We did a needs assessment to come up with some funding buckets for the region. Our overall for the Southeast Texas region budget is approximately $205 million. We have a goal to spend in the 0 to 30% income range approximately $57 million. In the 31 to 50, approximately $14 million, and in the 51 to 80% AMFI income category, approximately $39 million. We have a maximum target on the above 80% AMFI income because we can only spend 30% of the funds on those persons of approximately $61.5 million that we can spend there. Rhonda kind of covered this a little bit, but we do have several offices in the region. Our main regional office is at 505 Orleans. That's downtown Beaumont. And we are open there Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Saturdays from 8 to 4. But we are also at the Expo Center. Again, thank you guys for hosting us there. We're very grateful. We've had a lot of success there. We've had a lot of people come in there, and it seems to be a very well-known place. It was a good idea to go there. And we are there Tuesday through Thursday from 9 to 4 each of those days. We also have satellite locations in the city of Port Arthur and in Hardin County at Rose Hill Acres and at Sour Lake. We've started outreach. One of the things we're really proud of in this region is we've already done 3 intake events in Orange County. I take that back, 4, because we had 2 in the city of Orange. So we did one with Orange County Emergency Management, partnered with them. And so that kind of covered all of Orange County. We did that at the Expo Center. And then we had 2 in the city of Orange at the Orange Public Library. And then this last weekend, we had 1 in the city of Vidor. And out of that, we've had quite a bit of new applications come out. What we have found in this outreach approach that we've started is that when we come before commissioners' courts, city councils, and we talk to you guys, and then we partner with you guys on one of these intake events, we have so much success because you can share and you can help disseminate the information. We also canvass the area around where the intake event will be. We do door-to-door knocking, and we pass out flyers for the intake event. And we also ask whenever we host one of of these things that you guys tell us streets that you think need some focused door knocking. So we're real excited about that, and if you have a community here that we've missed out on or that you think that we need to do an intake event with, we'd love to partner with you and do that as well. Applicants are able to submit their application online, but it does require several signatures, and it requires you to be a little bit technologically savvy. So we do are open at all of our offices and able to assist anyone that comes in. One of the good things about these intake events that we do is not only do we get new applicants, but we get a lot of people who maybe started their application online and think they're a lot further along in the process and really they're stuck in draft mode or something, you know. So it's good for if you have somebody and they say, well, I haven't heard anything in a long time, well, it may be that they're stuck in one of the modes that just doesn't keep going. So they should call and touch base with us and let
or
us see where they are.
The expo center.
Go up there. That's even better because then you're going to get face-to-face contact.
Face-to-face is good.
Absolutely.
Much better.
Just to give you a little bit of what we can do, our eligibility requirements are we have to have a photo ID. It has to be a valid photo ID, but it does not have to be a U.S. ID or a Texas ID. It just has to be valid. For income, we need a copy of their latest tax return. For those persons who do not file tax returns, as long as they meet an exemption, then we can take, you know, Social Security benefits letters and that sort of thing. For ownership, we use property tax records. Obviously, a deed would be great, or many other forms of title along with an affidavit of ownership. There's a lot of things that we're able to do with that affidavit of ownership or take into consideration, especially with estates and that sort of thing that haven't totally been probated. Also, primary residence. It has to have been their primary residence at the time of the storm. So the easiest way to show that is with the homestead exemption. If you've got a homestead exemption, then we consider that your primary residence, and it has to have been from 2017. other ways, though, is a utility bill, light bill, bank statement, anything that was delivered to the house in the applicant's name with the property address of the damaged address that has that billing cycle of, you know, August, September 2017. We do need evidence of Harvey damage. The first thing we take there is if they've got a FEMA SBA or insurance award letter, because that means somebody has already been out and done an inspection, and so we're able to use that as verification. But in replacement of that, we do our own inspection as well. So we also inspect the property and look for hurricane damage. Duplication of benefits, there's another slide in a little bit, and we've kind of covered that a little bit today, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. And then verification of flood insurance. So there's two sort of quirky things with flood insurance, and that is this. We talked about that we can serve people above 80% LMI, but anyone who is 120% or above AMFI, those persons had to have had, if they were living in a flood zone, they had to have had flood insurance at the time of the storm or they're not eligible. So that's a little bit of a quirk there. If they're above 120% AMFI and they were in a flood zone where they were supposed to have flood insurance, if they did fail to have flood insurance, then they won't be eligible.
But I kind of understood at first, if you had insurance, then you wouldn't cover it, period. I mean,
we will. If they had insurance, maybe they were undercovered by insurance. So maybe insurance company only gave them $30,000, which is really a lot of money, but if you've got to tear down a whole house and rebuild it, it doesn't get you the first step, right? Or maybe what they were able to use the insurance money for was shelter-in-place temporary repairs to living in it, but not necessarily made back whole. So that sort of goes on along the lines of the duplication of benefits issue, meaning if they received assistance from FEMA, SBA, or insurance, they are still eligible. If they spent their funds that they received from one of those groups on the funding agency's prescribed method of spending. So I know that sounds like a lot of words, but usually it'll say structural damage. If it's for structural damage and they spent the funds on structural damage repair and can show that via receipts or an inspection report, then that is not counted as a duplication of benefits. That's wiped right off, okay? In addition to that, if they held on to that $30,000 we were talking about because it wasn't enough to do anything and they still have the funds in their account, they can bring that to the table and it'll be part of the first payment to the contractor so that it doesn't count against them in their effort. And then lastly, if they had to use it for medical expenses or just to live off of in the time since the storm, so it wasn't used according to the funding agency, then we can look at doing a scope reduction. So maybe they were eligible for a 3-bedroom home and we reduce it to a 2-bedroom home. And so that scope reduction, by taking off some square footage, we can get it to the amount of the duplication of benefits. And then it goes away. So there's several options to still help people if they had that situation. And then the other flood insurance quirk, I know I kind of got off on a tangent there, sorry. But the other flood insurance quirk is if they received previous assistance from another storm that required them to maintain flood insurance, and then they failed to maintain flood insurance, those people will not be eligible. So there's, like I said, two little quirks with the flood insurance, and it really only applies to those persons who live in a flood zone that required them to maintain it. Eligible activities, I mentioned this before, we really do rehabilitation and reconstruction of housing, meaning we either go in and do a remodel or we go in and tear it down and rebuild a whole new home. We also can do some site-specific things such as elevation and water wells and septic systems, depending on if they're needed. That substantial damage letter may have been related to the amount of elevation that's required to put onto that person's home. So Sean mentioned that sometimes every file is unique and different. It may be that the applicant didn't want to elevate as high as that we have found them to, so they're looking for a second source to say this was my substantial damage number. So that kind of may be what they're looking for there. We can do replacement of manufactured housing units, but we do not repair them. So if we have an applicant with a manufactured housing unit, we can replace it with a stick-built home where we go in and build a new home, but we can't go in and repair the mobile home. So what that means is that the applicant doesn't just have to own the MHU, they have to own the land it sits on, because we can't build a stick-built home in a mobile home park, right?
So I guess in that case, the damage would have to be over 50% or some percentage before you would...
Actually, if they have enough damage to it, to the mobile home, which it's any amount of damage, and we have a $1,000 damage limit, but it would be more than that to tear down an MHU. So each one would be...
Commissioner, there's a standard that HUD sets. Is that when we go to inspect the home to determine whether it's going to be a rehab or a reconstruct, there's a standard called Safe, Secure,
Sanitary
Standard. So if we go in and it doesn't meet those three standards, then that means they're eligible for the program.
Okay.
So if they go into the mobile home and it's not considered safe, secure, and sanitary, then that means rather than a dollar amount, it's a judgment on whether that home is a safe place for that homeowner to be.
So someone in the mobile home that thinks they might be eligible need to go ahead and make that call and let y'all make that determination.
Absolutely, and that's a perfect explanation for that, yes. So ineligible activities, we are not able to provide any food or clothing or household content-type items. Rebuilding on a different lot is not allowed. So if for some reason their lot turns out to be not eligible because maybe it's substandard, it's not large enough, we can't do the setbacks that are needed, or if it's in a flood way, not flood plain, those things would make a person ineligible because we could not build on that lot. Also, no rental homes or second homes or vacation homes. This has to be the primary residence of the applicant. Luxury items like garage door openers, security systems, fences. Yes, it's a luxury item. Security systems. Those things are not covered by the program. And neither are mortgage or utility expenses. So duplication of benefits slide, I've already talked about that, kind of covered that a minute ago. So this time around, the General Land Office went through a really robust procedure to procure the contractors for this program. They've got a list of approximately 16 or 17 builders, they are going to be grading them on a scorecard. That scorecard will determine how many additional homes they receive. The scorecard will be based on three factors. It's going to look at the quality of the workmanship of the home. It's going to look at the time it took them to complete the home, and it's going to look at the relationship they had with the applicant. So all three of those things are going to be built into that scorecard. In addition, the GLO is restricting each builder to 10 homes to begin with in each region so that they don't give them too many to where they can't handle it, and they can that way assess each builder with the 10 and see how it works before giving them more. Each home will have a 3-year warranty from the builder. I'm sorry, a 1-year warranty from the builder, a 5-year structural warranty on the home. Each home will be approximately 2 persons per bedroom in size. We look at the household occupancy. It's not based on what they had before. So if it was a 4-bedroom home before and 1 person living in the home, they're going to probably go down to a 2-bedroom home. We don't build any 1-bedroom homes. But we do build 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms. We've got plans for each of those. Let's see. We are required to follow all local, state, and building codes. We have HUD lead-based paint standards that we look at. Each builder selected a green building standard to build to, and they have to be. Each home has to be certified that it meets that green building standard at the end of construction. And elevation standards, we are going with the 2 feet above either the high water mark or above the BFE. So it's whichever's greater. The monitoring period, the applicants are required to have a 3 years affordability period on the home, meaning their deferred forgivable note lasts for 3 years. Now, it's deferred and forgivable. What does that mean? Well, it's deferred in that after the 3-year period, it will be completely forgiven. It's also unsecured, meaning it has not and will not be no liens filed against the property, and it won't be filed at the courthouse. So during that 3-year period, the applicant has to maintain the property as their principal residence. They cannot do any cash out refinancing, home equity loans, collateral loans, none of that during the 3-year period. They also have to maintain timely payment of property taxes and insurance. If they are in a floodplain, they have to maintain that flood insurance the entire life of the property and notify any future buyers that it was funded with HUD funds and will need to have flood insurance. The first year of hazard insurance is covered by the builder. And if they are in a flood zone or windstorm zone, that is provided for the first year as well. So they at least have 1 year that's provided by the builder, and then they'll be responsible for the following 2 years or if the flood zone in perpetuity. And that is my summary of the program. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Sorry, I know I talked kind of fast, but I didn't want to bore you too long, so. We're very grateful to be here. We're excited about the work we've done. We did start our first home in Orange County yesterday, and we do hear that it'll be approximately 20 days before it's done. It's in the city of Vidor, so we're excited to get going. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Excellent PowerPoint. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Equipment.
Do we need a motion to recognize them?
Do anything about it? It says here possible action to recognize, but I never do.
Okay. Gotcha.
Just ask.
Unless I want to.
Yes.
I did want to follow up real quickly. Whenever Rhonda was making her presentation, she talked about the number of applicants in the program, and Jennifer and I were looking at each other and said, that doesn't sound like she was talking about 450 some applicants. Well, she was talking about the reimbursement program. On the homeowner assistance program, there's about 650 from Orange County. Okay, and it roughly works out a third in Orange, a third in Vidor, and a third in the rest of the county is typically how it's running. But it's been robust. We've had a lot of response, and just keep sending folks our way. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean.
Any further questions? Thank you all very much. Yes, we appreciate you. It. Okay. Good to see you again, Sean. It's been a lot of hours together.
More to go.
Yeah. Item 10, discussion possible action regarding the acceptance of the road bond from Hill Corp Energy Company to cover potential damage to Abe's, Ivy, Hibiscus, and Honeysuckle Drive during the replacement of a 4-inch pipeline. Hill Corp Energy Company has paid the permit fee of $480, which is $120 per road. Clark?
This is, like you mentioned there, it's a company that does oil exploration, and they're installing a saltwater disposal line to connect two wells together. And they have to cross under four of our roads in order to do this. It's going to be one continuous bore from one end to the other, so it's going to be very deep. I know they say on their plat at least 5 feet, but it's going to be much deeper than that. So I don't anticipate any damage at all to the roads, but they have posted their bond in the amount of $20,000 per crossing, so it's $80,000 bond.
So we don't foresee any drainage issues, because I know in some cases our ditches can only go so deep because we're crossing the pipeline.
That's right.
So we won't have any of those issues to deal with either.
Right. That shouldn't occur, because they're going to be starting from off of the county right away, just boring completely under the entire length and then coming up over where their other well is.
Mm-hmm. Clark, if they do damage, that gives them how much per?
The standard that we have, that we go by, is $20,000 per crossing when they're crossing under one of our roads.
What if it's more than that?
Well, we're covered. We'll make a claim against them if they damage more than that. But that's sort of our estimated cost.
Does the county have to provide the labor?
No, we don't. We're not doing any of this. All we're doing is asking them to put up some type of collateral.
That's
to
good.
Say that if we damage it, it's going to be easy for y'all to collect. Typically, these things happen without any damage, so it doesn't cost them.
But I have
them.
Seen damage.
Yes, there are occasions, but it doesn't. They're not actually putting money up. They're
purchasing
an insurance policy that covers them, covers us in the event they cause damage.
And so, this is one bond for $80,000.
Yes.
Easier to get the bond money than it is to take them to court.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Any further questions? I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item 11, discussion of possible action regarding awarding the historic rehabilitation of the Orange County Courthouse to Marsh Waterproofing Inc.
Hallelujah.
Baptist.
We also add, Judge, action by the court may include approval for Orange County judge to execute the same, subject to review by Denise. Mr. LaBiche, when he came and he is here for any questions, he brought the actual contracts also.
Okay.
And Denise was in the meeting.
Have you not reviewed them yet?
I just got them. I have reviewed. I have two or three questions that I need to speak to Mr. LaBiche about. It should not take long.
Did you want to table it, or did you want to do it today?
No, they can go ahead and authorize you to sign it.
To sign it, pending your approval.
Yes, please.
Okay.
So moved.
A second.
Hey, you're too slow, Commissioner Beatrice. You got to jump on it quicker, man.
Oh, I want this. I'm for this.
I'm going to let you have the next one.
It's full of energy.
You're good. Keep going.
Okay. Motion been made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 2, to approve the awarding to the historic rehabilitation of the Orange County Courthouse to Marsh Waterproofing Incorporated. Any further questions? Pending authorize the county judge or judge pro tem to sign the contract pending approval of Attorney Grimion.
But I just have one question. Okay, we voted on it today, Mr. LaBiche. And it says 120 days, the contract does. When does that 120 days start?
The 120 days starts when we issue a notice to proceed. The notice to proceed gets issued after the county purchasing agent receives all the insurance certificates, the bonds, any other information that she needs, and approved, and all the signatures are approved by your county attorney. Then when they do that, they'll tell me to issue the notice to proceed. We will have another meeting with the contractor and any subcontractors he will have on the site, and that he will tell us ahead of time what day he wants to proceed. It will start then.
About, I mean, I'm not being antsy about anything, but about how long?
Did you say
that? You're right. But about how long will all of that take?
Depending on county, usually it takes about 2 weeks.
Because I'm ready today.
The contractor has to schedule his things in, and he has to bring materials to the site too. So there's still things going on, even though you won't see the work.
July 4th is out. So.
Right. And, we still have the fence up in front of the building, and yes, we have a scaffold that the county is saying we're stepping away from the scaffolding. The scaffolding's responsibility of the contractor. So I don't know right now if we're totally taking that scaffolding down and another vendor is installing it, or if that contractor has made a deal with that vendor.
Okay. Or can make that deal.
Go 150 days.
No.
Yeah, give him 30, that way you feel more comfortable with it.
I'd rather 110.
Well, I promise you that Mr. Marsh likes to make his money very fast. So he's not going to take 1 second more than it takes.
I want it done right. I want it now.
Thank you, Mr. LaBiche.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, any further questions? All in favor, 65 is saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay.
Yay.
It's done. Okay, item 12, discussion possible action regarding renewal of the existing agreement between Orange County and Mattenburg Elm Insurance for National Flood Insurance Program for the a third and final term. The existing contract is set to expire on April 18, 2019, if not renewed. Action by the court may include approval for the Orange County judge or judge pro tem to sign the same. Action by the court may also include recession of approval given by the court on March 13, 2019 for the county purchasing agent to advertise for proposals on a national flood insurance program. Connie?
We've got, me and Connie had talked about this. I think me and Commissioner Trahan had talked about it, is that since it had a third and final term on it, that we were going to go ahead and just continue to do that and rescind the initial deal to send out for RFPs on that.
But the price won't change.
Because the price won't change because it's flood insurance. But we do have an additional set of buildings that that Missy sent in that we need to add to this. And I think that did you get that list of the additional buildings?
She sent me the list along.
Mr. Guthrie, I'm looking at these.
I want to know.
They're all, except for the purchasing department, mm-hmm. that building, that big large building there,
mm-hmm.
the rest of these are pretty much portable buildings or the pavilion at the park.
Yeah.
So I guess the question would be, do we want to spend money on flood insurance for portable buildings?
That's what I'm saying. Do we need to add those at all, or do we need to wait to take action on this? Because we expire on April the 18th.
We have one more week that we need to finalize.
Okay, the issue with adding the additional buildings on there is because they do not have an elevation certificate.
Right.
So we would have to authorize those elevations to even be taken first, right?
Because
we have to expense that.
Right.
But I'm kind of like Commissioner Trahan. All the other than the one building, the rest of them are portable buildings. I don't know that we want them.
Okay, look at this one.
Either a shed or portable building.
Wait, we're looking.
The one is the purchase department building. Yeah. They share with the crime lab.
Yeah, it's the crime lab.
That's one I think we need to add, but the others I wouldn't think we need to.
Look at that.
Have the necessary?
Y'all, there's some of this we don't need.
Probably have to get one.
We have to have all the ones that she sent us a list of. We need an elevation certificate for.
Okay.
Yep. How to long add them.
That even the ones we don't want to keep?
Only what we want to add.
I would say that we just one is what we needed on for now. Because that's the only one I think we should.
Holding up the evidence building?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. That's the only one that I think.
That's the one that's
that's what we agree.
Do we know whether it's possible to renew this as is before its expiration on April 18th and then amend to add after? My concern is the time lapse that it's the time it's going to take to get that certificate, we won't be able to execute the third term of this before April 18th.
We can't. I know that because Missy's out this week and next week, so there's no way to get that elevation certificate in time. So I think that at the very least, we need to approve for April the 18th.
Okay.
This one deal, if we need to come back and do the additional amendment later on, we can do that.
We should be able to add because it'd be like building a brand new building and adding, so we should be able to add.
Do we have, like, the elevation thing is done by a survey, correct?
Okay.
So does the county have their own surveyor, or do we have to get the elevations, or do we have to go outside?
We have a surveyor, but I don't know that he's licensed to do
the
elevations.
I think we have to go outside. This last we did because of the license.
Okay. Okay.
Clark would know, huh?
Yeah,
we don't have anybody on staff.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, okay. That's qualified or licensed.
Okay. So we're looking to authorize renewal as is, and then we'll immediately get to work as soon as
then it gets us time to work on the buildings that are in question.
And then we'll add it to it.
Yeah, I think that's
probably better than a hasty decision. That seems the safest. Yeah.
And I'll make that motion because I think that's what we need.
And I'll
so it's a two-part motion, though, John.
Yeah. So I'll make a motion that we go ahead.
That we rescind.
That we rescind the RFP and that we go ahead and agree to an existing agreement between Orange County and Matt Pergon.
Extended.
And that we pursue an elevation certificate for the purchasing building and add it at a later date.
And take in mind our current policies for the insurance does not expire until June. That's the policies themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the RFP, but the policies themselves expire in June.
But the contract has to be re-executed by April 18th.
By April 18th. So we're doing that.
Okay.
So I second that.
Okay.
Okay. Three. We'll change it to three.
And the understanding is next year we'll have to go out, even though the price will be the same for everybody, we'll have to go out for RFP because that 3 year.
Yeah, the 3 year term will be up.
Okay.
So next year we'll have to do it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Precinct 1, seconded by Commissioner Precinct 3. In regards to the agenda item, I'm going to repeat the whole thing, but it involves the renewal of the flood insurance before the expiration date. And then also, we'll be going out for elevation certificates for the additional buildings that would be put on this. Any further discussions? All in favor, say five by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
I will forward that contract to your office.
Okay.
For signature.
You're fine. Okay. Item 13, discussion and possible action regarding a request for an amended right-of-way and an easement in favor of ExxonMobil at the Orange County Airport, as well as related 60-day workspace agreement. An amended easement was granted and executed by the court on March 5, 2019. The current amendment request is to correct the guarantee name and to modify the depth requirement for buried pipelines. Action by the court may include approval for the Orange County judge or Judge Pro Tem to execute the same.
This request is actually being withdrawn by Exxon.
Okay, so no action. Okay.
They wanted to eliminate the depth requirement, which we had gone to 36 inches on, and quite frankly, I told them that I would not recommend that to you guys, so they just withdrew the request.
No.
Okay.
So that's
36 is not that deep.
Yeah, that's a pretty good discussion back then over that depth.
Yeah. Okay, major item 14, discussion of possible action regarding adjourning the Commissioner's Court meeting.
Motion.
So moved.
Was that quick?
Second.
Yeah, that was good. That was quick. 4-2. All of you said, Thomas, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, meeting adjourned.
All right. We got a lot of-